You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, since 1982, Banned Book Week has taken place to support the expression of ideas, even those considered out of the ordinary or unpopular. We'll talk to the director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom. Now, Congress has approved a bill that's been called the biggest overhaul to music copyright law in years. It's called the Music Modernization Act, and it could mean big changes for songwriters and music streaming sites. The bill has broad support from many in the music industry, including artists like Smokey Robinson, who praised the changes it makes to the payment of artists. Here he is speaking before Congress in May.
If we stop paying people because, well, it's only music, well, that's ludicrous because of the fact that their time and effort and creativity went into creating this music that people are getting pleasure from and listening to and having forever and ever.
Amy Wang is a reporter who covers the music and media industries at Rolling Stone. Amy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, if I had one word to describe our music copyright system, it would be complicated. Can you talk about what the state of the art is right now prior to this bill?
That is extremely true. So the way that music copyright works right now can't even be explained in a sentence or a paragraph because there's so many different rules that govern different entities. For instance, the way that artists get paid from radio, like we're listening to right now, is completely different from the way artists get paid from a song coming through your local grocery store speaker system. And the bill really does a lot to bring that together for the modern age, but it still isn't, you know, a cure-all, doesn't establish one central system for artists to get paid. It just helps them sort out the kinks that have been in the system for a while.
And one big change to the system, of course, in recent years is, you know, things like Spotify and Pandora and streaming radio and all these things. Were they kind of gray areas?
That's exactly right. They weren't necessarily gray areas for artists because artists know how much they should be paid and they're very vocal about it. But for services setting up like something like Spotify, which is a music streaming service, there is really no way to get all the music at once. You have to either go to every individual rights holder, every label, every artist in that system and say, let's make a deal for your music, or you can just put all of it on there and get sued. So the Music Modernization Act helps with creating a central authority for that to happen so that on the Spotify side of things, they're okay to just get all that music, and on the artist side of things, they can actually get paid.
Who all gets paid? There's obviously the performer, but they're not the only one who might get a cut or want a cut of a song. Who all is out there?
Mm-hmm. So when you listen to a song, you might think that the money just goes to the artist, and sometimes you think about the record label, but in fact, that's only half the equation. It's the artist, the record label, and by the way, there are also producers and co-writers, co-authors of that song who are singing maybe a chorus or a hook or something. But on the completely other side, there's the publishing of the song, which has to do with the songwriters and the publishers who represent them, and that might be totally different. For instance, a song could be sung by Whitney Houston, but written by a totally different person, and Whitney Houston wouldn't get paid for that part of the song, and vice versa.
Talking to Amy Wang from Rolling Stone about the Music Modernization Act, an effort by Congress, it's passed both houses now, to fix, a lot of people say, how people get money when songs are listened to. So what are the main points of this new legislation? What are some of the big changes that people are looking at?
It's really a bundle of legislation, but some of the key points are that it makes that big entity for things like Spotify and Apple Music to be able to get paid, to be able to make artists get paid and also license their songs correctly. Another thing is that it creates a new royalty rule for pre-1972 recordings. So before the MMA, a lot of artists who recorded songs before that time actually weren't getting paid properly, and they felt, of course, really upset about that, because why should an artist who makes new music in 2018 be getting paid and they can't be? Another thing is that it sets up royalties for producers who previously were kind of in a gray area about whether they should get paid for songs. And one other pretty important thing that it does is that it streamlines the way that the courts set rules for things. So right now, previous to the MMA, there was a court that would basically set rules for, you know, this is the rate that certain radios get paid for their artists and vice versa. But now we have an authority that streamlines the process and makes it a little bit simpler for artists to be able to see how they're getting paid and whether that's fair.
If and when this is signed into law and takes effect, will the average music fan see or feel any kind of difference?
The average music fan probably has no idea what's going on if they're not reading about any of this. But what they should know, the one thing that's really important for them to know, is that copyright law like this and any potential future copyright law that overhauls it for music is going to do a service for the artist and for the songwriter. So those two entities will be getting more money and they'll be seeing more fruits from essentially this product that they've put out there for people. And right now they feel like it's not really doing them a service or a justice if they're not being paid what they're due.
Yeah, I'll admit, I sometimes, if I'm listening to a perfectly legal streaming service, I still feel a little guilty. Like, are people getting ripped off? Am I, in effect, stealing from them? Like, can I do this a little more guilt-free henceforth?
You probably can. At least you can know that the songs you're listening to are fully licensed and legitimate, and that artists are getting a cut of it, songwriters are getting a cut, producers and everybody else. As long as the data is all there and all correct, then it's going to the proper person. Now, how much they get is,
right,
is a different matter.
Right. I wanted to bring that up, because that's a concern I've seen, like people saying, yeah, my song's been streamed or downloaded or whatever millions of times, and, you know, I bought a few postage stamps.
That's exactly right, yeah. So that has to do with the model of streaming services themselves, and there isn't really anything to be done unless someone forced Spotify to raise their prices from $9.99 a month to like $100 a month, and that's never going to happen. So artists on that side really don't have much leeway, but there is like a question of dividing the money between the labels and everybody else. A lot of artists are now wondering whether they should just be completely independent artists so they can get 100% of that side of things and not have to split with a label or anybody else.
And that reminds me, you wrote another piece related to this, not directly about the law, saying that, I think it was Spotify is trying to make it possible to do what you just said. Okay, band, you don't have to go through a label to stream with us.
Exactly, yeah. Spotify has just introduced a new feature where artists can, if they're independent, if they actually own all the copyright to their songs and don't have somebody already doing that for them, they can upload music directly, you know, from their computer to Spotify, which is a pretty cool and radical idea for them, but, you know, a scary one for labels who are wondering if their jobs might be taken over by an artist directly uploading to Spotify.
Now, with this Music Modernization Act, it seems like a lot of stakeholders are happy with it. Are there any holdouts who are saying, no, this is still bad news?
By and large, the industry has been pretty happy about it because it's been merely so long that they've seen something like this happen. So everyone from rights holders to artists themselves to the companies lobbying on their behalf, and even Spotify, Google, Apple, are pretty happy about it. One of the pretty vocal opponents of the bill historically had been Sirius XM because of a certain rule within the bill that said that Sirius had to pay essentially more royalties than it was paying before. And they argue that it was unfair because broadcast radio, which is what we're listening to now, doesn't have to obey the same rules. So that had to be kind of hashed out at the last minute and caused a lot of infighting within the music industry, which wondered, you know, is Sirius going to sort of topple the bill for everybody else? But a compromise was eventually worked out, and it went through.
As we wrap up, is there anybody out there saying yes and? Like, they like this legislation, now they want to see this next thing happen.
Pretty much the entire industry is saying that, yeah. They're saying, this is great, now let's move on to the next thing that we can, you know, fix and streamline and get more money out of, because music is still a pretty tough field to make it in as an artist, and they want more money however much they can get, and from whatever sources they can get, especially as each individual person listening contributes less money, as we just talked about, since they're streaming and not buying a song, contributing that $10 all at once to the artist.
Now, we've been using 8-track laws in the era of streaming. Are there going to be new changes that render all this obsolete in the next 10, 20 years?
Hopefully not. Otherwise, it'll all have to be done again. Streaming seems like it's pretty much here to stay for now. It's growing bigger and bigger. It doesn't seem to have any signs of slowing down or stopping anytime soon. So fingers crossed that we'll have a model that's sustainable and a way for artists to make a living wage continually here and now.
Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
That's Amy Wang, music and media industry reporter for Rolling Stone. She was with us to talk about a big revamp of music copyright law that's on its way to President Trump's desk for approval.